The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
Simin Kuf Tzadi Hilchos Shmiras HaGuf Ubal Tashres Halakha Aleph Mitzvahs asay lasos ma'ke legago. It is a positive mitzvah to build a fence for one's roof. Shenemar, like it says in the pasuk, v'yasisa ma'ke legagecha. You should make a fence for your roof. Gova ha'ma'ke ein pachos me'asar tfachim. The height of the fence must not be less than 10 tfachim. In other words, it has to be high enough so that it would protect people, prevent people from falling off. V'yehei chazak, and the fence has to be strong. K'dei sheyisha'ein adam alav v'lo yipol. To the extent that if a person would rest, would lean on it, he would not fall. Gagin shelonu she'ein mishtamshin alein peturin. Our roofs, which people do not make use of them, they are exempt. So the principle of building a marka, a fence for one's roof, is dependent upon whether or not the roof is considered usable, whether it's used by people, in which case it would be dangerous to not have a roof over there. The umnam, however, lo hagag dovad chayiv b'marka, it is not merely the roof that has an obligation to build a fence. Elakol davar sheyesh bo sakana, but on any place where it is dangerous, sheyikoshel by adam v'yomus, that if a person might stumble, then they can die, chayev b'make v'tikun, so he'd be required to build a fence or to fix up the area. V'kol ha-menicho below make, and anyone who leaves such an area unfenced, Bital mitzvahs esay v'avar alos asay. So he has failed to perform a positive commandment, and he has violated a negative commandment. Shenemar, like it says in the pasuk, v'lo sosim domim b'veisecha, that you are not allowed to place blood in your house. What does it mean to place blood in your house? It means to have a situation in your home which could cause bloodshed. Kigon mishiyesh loy bar b'sol chatzeroi. For example, if a person has a pit inside of his yard, chayiv lasos lo churya gevora asara tvachim, he would be required to build an entrenchment around it, which has a minimum height of 10 tvachim, so that no one should fall in. O lasos lo kisoy, or to make a cover for the pit, shalayipo bo adam, so that people should not fall in. This is the requirement of a homeowner. Now, in the Minchas Chinuch, it points out that the requirement to build a marka is relevant as soon as your house is built, and every moment that one fails to build the fence, they are in violation. So even if one has not built a fence until now, they should hurry up and build it as soon as they can. Now, of course, the mitzvah of building a marka does not matter whether the homeowner is a man or a woman. Everyone is required to build a fence. The poskim say that when one does build a fence, they should have in mind that they're fulfilling the mitzvah min haTorah. Otherwise, it's questionable whether they really are yotze the mitzvah. There's a machlokis haposkim. There's a dispute about whether the requirement to build a fence goes into effect as soon as a person builds a house, or once the house is being lived in. But it's interesting, some poskim say that a person is better off buying a home on a upper floor of a building than on a lower floor, because this way he has a mitzvah of marka to fulfill. Now, the obligation of building a fence would go on a person building the home, a new home, or someone who is acquiring a home, or someone who inherits a home or receives a home as a present. Doesn't matter what the situation is, if you own a home, you would be required to make sure that there's a fence in the home. Now, if a home is owned by shutvim, by partners, although there is a requirement to build a fence, there is a question about whether or not a bracha should be said over it. That would be dependent upon a dispute among the poskim. Now, if someone's renting a home, or even borrowing a home from their friend, they would also have an obligation to build a ma'aka. Now, the fence that's built does not have to be built by the homeowner himself. He's allowed to hire a shaliach to do it for him. In which case, there will be a question, there will be a machlokas at poskim. When you have a Jewish worker putting up a fence, who should make the bracha? Some say the worker should make the bracha because he's the one putting it up. Others say, no, the mitzvah is upon the homeowner and therefore he should be the one to say the bracha. There's also a dispute among the poskim whether you can hire a non-Jewish worker to put up the fence in your behalf. So, of course, if you could avoid doing so, if you could have a Jewish worker put it up, that would certainly be much preferable. In fact, if a person could do it himself, we say mitzvah bo yoseh mi b'shlucha, it is always preferable to do a mitzvah yourself rather than to do it with a shaliach, and therefore you're better off doing the mitzvah yourself than to have someone else do it. Now, if you have a very small roof, it would still require a ma'aka as long as it would have the dimensions of 4 amas by 4 amas. That's not very large. According to one opinion, we're talking about 76 inches, 76 square inches. Now, if the roof is slanted so that no one can use it, or for that matter, even if it's not slanted, but a roof that no one does use, so one is exempt from building a fence there. But if the roof is used upon occasion, so many poskim say you would be chayev to build a fence there. Now, it's not just the roof that requires a fence. Anyone who has a balcony, a porch, they would also be required to build a fence there. However, there is some question whether a bracha should be made over such a fence. Now, the same thing is true inside a home. That is, when you have, let's say, a stairwell, so it's necessary to build a fence there. However, a bracha should not be made over that fence. So let's talk about the bracha for a moment, because the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention that at all. Before one builds a ma'aka, immediately before, he's supposed to make a bracha, l'chatchila. B'di'eved, if he failed to make the bracha, he could make the bracha until he completes it, until it's finished. If the ma'aka is completed and he has not yet made the bracha, it's too late, and he can no longer make the bracha. But of course, the mitzvah was still done. So the bracha that is made is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvaso V'tzivanu La'asos Ma'akeh. That's if he's making it for himself. If someone is building a ma'akeh for another person, for someone else's home, he says the bracha Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvaso V'tzivanu Au Asiyas Ma'akeh. And when a person makes the bracha, he's supposed to be standing. Now, there are some poskim that say that one is not supposed to make a bracha when building a ma'aka. Again, this is a machlokas, a poskim. It's really already a machlokas rishonim. So there are different opinions. There's also an interesting machlokas whether someone should make the bracha of shechiyano when they build a ma'aka. So all in all, the mitzvah of building a ma'aka is a very critical mitzvah, to the extent that in the writings of the Arizal, in the Eitz Chaim, he brings down that anyone who is mevato the mitzvah of building a fence, he says, ki'ilu machzer ha'olam l'tohu v'bohu, it's as if he is returning the world to the state of nothingness. So, it's critical that when we purchase a new home, when we build a new home, we should always remember to make sure that there's a ma'aka built. And for some reason, a fence does come down, we have to be certain to put it back up as soon as possible. Lacha beis. V'chein kol mikshol sheyesh bo sakanas nefashos. The same thing is true with any danger which could involve danger to life. Mitzvahs aseh lahasiro It is a positive mitzvah to remove it, ulehishomer mimeno, and to be guarded from it, ulehizaher badava yafer, and to be extremely careful with the matter. Shenemar, hishomer lecha ushmo nafshecha ma'od. Hashem says you should watch yourself, and you should watch your nefesh very much. The Torah's appreciation of the value of human life is so strong that it very strongly forbids having any situation which could be life-threatening. If one leaves it and he does not remove these impediments which could lead one to danger, Bitel mitzvahs esei, so he has violated a positive commandment, the avar, and he has transgressed below sosim domim, that you should not leave something in your, not leave blood in your home. Kigon imsulam ra'ua omed debesa v'chatzera. For example, if someone has a faulty ladder in their home or in their yard, see, even though he says, oh, I'll be careful not to use it, but just leaving it there, maybe at some point someone else is going to find it there. They're going to climb up the ladder, and they will be injured. V'chein ha-megado kelav ra. Similarly, one who raises a dangerous dog, so he's also in violation of this lav. Now, the source for this is the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, where the Gemara gives these two examples, that if someone has a faulty ladder or a dangerous dog, so they're going to be in violation of the law. So the Marasha over there comments that the reason the Gemara needs to point this out is because to build a maka, to have a fence on your roof, that's something which would otherwise be endangering everyone. But to raise a kelev ra in your home, generally, that's not going to be dangerous to the members of the family because the dog would be used to them. It's only going to be dangerous to others. And in the contrary, the dog is actually going to keep out thieves, bandits, from entering at night. Nevertheless, the Torah still forbids having a kelev ra in your home. Similarly, the same thing is true about the ladder. Even though the ladder, members of the household know that this is a bad ladder, not to use it, it's still usur. Now, earlier in Bava Kamma, actually it's later, in Bava Kamma, Daf Ayin Tes, it brings down that a person would only be allowed to raise a dog if the dog is locked up with a chain. And this, in fact, is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch Kosher and Mishpat, Simen Tav Tes, that says there it's forbidden to raise a bad dog unless it's locked up with a chain. I should just point out another issue that sometimes people overlook, and that is to keep poison in the home in a place where children can access it, that would certainly be a violation of this law. So things like oven spray or toilet cleansers, these are things which are undoubtedly very toxic, and it's critical to leave them out of reach of children. The same thing would be true of matches, of lighters, or of dangerous knives. If one does not put them out of reach of children, they are certainly going to be in violation of this law. But it's not simply the issue of children. Anytime someone has a dangerous situation in their home, whether it's a danger to fire or people falling and getting hurt, it's the obligation of the homeowner to make sure that the danger is removed. Halacha Gimel. Kishem shetzaracha adam lihizaher begufo shelo la'abdo. Just like a person needs to be careful with his body so that he does not destroy it, u'shelo l'kalkalo, and he does not damage it, u'shelo l'haziko, and not to injure it, kimo shenema, like it says in the pasuk, hishomer lecha ushmar nafshecha ma'od, like it says in the pasuk that you have to be careful and watch over your nefesh very carefully. Kach tzarach lizaher b'momono, a person also needs to be careful with his property. Shelo la'abdo v'shelo l'kalkalo, shelo l'hazika, they should not cause it to be lost or to be damaged or to be harmed. V'kol ha'misharber keli, anyone who breaks an article, o korea beged, or he rips a garment, o ma'abed maicho o mashke, or he destroys a food or a drink, o mima'asam, or he makes it inedible, o zorek mo'os li'ibud, or he throws away his money so that it should get lost, v'chein ha'mekalkel shar kol davar, and similarly, anyone who destroys any other item, shoha yoroi, which would be eligible, sheyehanu bo b'nei adam, that people can get pleasure from it, over belosase, he's in violation of a lav, shenema, like it says in the pasuk, lo sashchis es eitzah, that you should not destroy the tree. Now this pasuk is referring to when you go out to war against the enemy and you are sieging the enemy city, if there's a fruit tree on the outside of the city and you want to chop it down in order that the enemy won't have any food to eat, it's forbidden for you to do so because we're not allowed to destroy fruit trees. Now this is a very interesting idea, that you would think that when you're going out to war you could do anything, and that's why the Torah expresses it in such a situation where there would be a good cause for, a good argument for chopping down the tree, nevertheless, it's forbidden to cut down the tree. From there, we learn to other situations, even during peacetime, that it is forbidden to cut down a fruit tree. Based on this, the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch tells us that the same thing is true of destroying anything which is usable and beneficial that people can benefit from. It would be forbidden to destroy it or damage it if it's unnecessary. So this is a good opportunity to speak about the prohibition of cutting down a fruit tree. The halacha is that it is usur to cut down a tree even if the fruits have not yet begun to develop. It is also usur to cut down a tree whose fruits are bad, and if the fruits are wormy so that people wouldn't want to eat it, it's still usur to cut it down. However, if the purpose of cutting down is to prevent people from eating it, who might otherwise eat from wormy fruit, so then that would be justified. If a tree is old and it doesn't produce much fruit anymore, the poskim say that it's mutter to take it down. Now, even though the halacha is that it's only a fruit tree that's forbidden, the poskim say that someone who cuts down a tree which does not produce fruit will also not see any siman bracha from it. They will not get any blessing from the fact that they chopped it down. But, of course, if there's a necessary reason to cut it down, so one may do so. So, among the justifications to cut down the tree would be if, let's say, one tree is damaging the others, or it is damaging someone else's field, let's say with its roots or its branches, or in a situation that the wood of the tree would be more valuable and worth more than the fruits that the tree produces. In these cases, the Torah does not forbid cutting it down. According to most poskim, it is also mutter to take down the tree if you'd want to build a home in its place. Similarly, if a tree is blocking light from entering the house, that would also be a justification to take it down. But if it's possible to trim the tree, and that would fulfill this purpose, then one should certainly do that rather than cut down the whole tree. Anytime there's a mitzvah, it is mutter to cut down the tree for its purpose. So, for example, if someone needs the branches of the tree to build his sukkah, he'd be allowed to cut it down. But in all of these cases, it is preferable to employ a non-Jew to do it. And altogether, poskim say that if someone wants to cut down the tree, they might be better off selling the tree to a guy and this way let the goy cut down the tree. There's a machlokes haposkim, whether the issur of cutting down trees also applies to trimming the branches. There's a Mishnah Lamelech in Hilchos Isur Mizbeach that seems to say that it would be mutter. But many other achronim are machmer. But one thing is clear from all this, is that the issur of cutting down a fruit tree should instill within us a sensitivity to taking care of Hashem's world. And we are not allowed to let things be destroyed for no purpose. And even if there is a good cause to do so, we should certainly think twice before using up the resources that Hashem put in the world for us. There are still some remaining questions about Baal Tashchis that need to be discussed, even though they do not relate to fruit trees. The Gemara says in Chulin that the reason that Yaakov returned to get these small jars that he left behind, that he had forgotten, is because tzaddikim consider all of their possessions to be very beloved to them. In other words, for people who are righteous, they recognize that everything that they have in this world are resources that Hashem gave them through which they're supposed to perform avodas Hashem. That being said, a tzaddik can't just abandon some minor possession, because this is an element of how he's supposed to connect to the Creator. So that's why Yaakov went back. So what does that mean for us? Lahalacha, if a person leaves behind something in a public place, how much effort does he have to make in order to go back, in order to reattain it? So the poskim say that this is not an obligation upon us. This is something for tzaddikim. It's considered lefnim meshuras hadin. So it's certainly proper to go back for it, but one is not required to do so. But when it comes to wasting food or other items, one should be careful not to do anything to destroy food that is edible. In fact, the poskim say that if someone does not want to eat bread because it is stale, as long as it is technically edible, it should not be thrown out into the garbage where it's going to get soiled by other aspects in the garbage. So if it's less than the kezias, then there are many poskim who are lenient to throw it out. But certainly if it is a kezias, if you have a whole slice of bread, or certainly a whole loaf of bread, so the poskim say that either one should let it rot, not in the garbage, or if they want to throw it out, at least it should be well wrapped so that it's not getting disgusting from the other things which are in the garbage. Now, Baal Tashchis is not limited to food. It also would apply to clothing, as we saw in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. If there's an article of clothing which is wearable that someone doesn't want, why not give it away to others who can use it? Many poskim say, and it's based on the Chasam Sofer, that on Lag BaOmer in Meron, where people tend to throw all sorts of things into the fire, if the items are usable, it is forbidden to do so. But when you have a practice that is being done for a real mitzvah or an authentic minog, such as when the chassan breaks the glass underneath the chuppah, that is not considered a problem of Baal Tashchis, because that was an ancient minhag in Klal Yisrael. If someone acquires a food and finds it to be infested with insects, and it's too difficult for them to pull out the insects, so the food may be thrown out, it is not considered Baal Tashchis. It would certainly be ideal for a caterer to find some means to give away the leftover food at a simcha. Usually so much food is wasted there, and it's a pity that they don't find some method of getting those to needy people. And finally, there is a question in the poskim whether hunting is going to be a violation of Baal Tashchis. So if someone's going hunting in order to use the food, to use the animal, whether for food or for clothing, so then it would not be. But if they're doing it just for sport, then that may fall under the category of Baal Tashchis. The same thing would be true for someone who's going fishing just for sport and they're not planning to do anything with the fish.